Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Dr. Bernie Siegel, his family, his friends, and all our friends and loyal listeners worldwide. We want this to be your best year ever.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into JoyceBarryandFriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is JoyceBarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
Folks, I am particularly excited about this show today. First of all, we have an awesome guest, Dr. Bernie Siegel, truly one of my all-time favorites. And the topic is so important, especially in the climate we're in today. I can hardly wait to hear what Dr. Siegel has to say. Loving your life no matter what. Dr. Siegel is a world-renowned speaker and author. He has touched countless lives all over the world. As a physician, he has cared for and counseled innumerable people whose mortality has been threatened by illness. His extraordinary books, such as Peace, Love, and Healing, and A Book of Miracles, are inspirational masterpieces. However, all his books are impactful and should be read. Dr. Siegel says the question is not Will there be difficulties and threats to our existence, but how will we deal with them and what can we learn from them? On today's show, Dr. Siegel will no doubt motivate and inspire you to love your life no matter what. And folks, today is one of those no matter what days. Today is a President's Day. Washington's birthday is a U.S. federal holiday celebrated on the third Monday of February in honor of George Washington, the first president of the U.S. It is also a state holiday in most states where it is known by a variety of names, including President's Day and Washington and Lincoln's birthday, and officially celebrates, depending upon the state, Washington alone, Washington and Lincoln, or some other combination of U.S. presidents. The holiday, widely known as President's Day, is often an occasion to celebrate or at least remember all presidents and not just George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And today, here we are on President's Day. Thousands of people are expected at rallies all over this country called Not My President's Day. Anti-Trump activists have seized this day, this federal holiday, to organize Not My President Day rallies everywhere. Protest leaders say they expect thousands to take to the streets in L.A., Chicago, New York, and as many as two dozen other communities in the latest round of demonstrations to oppose the policies of President Donald Trump. Some 13,000 Facebook users, for instance, say they plan to join a noon protest today near Manhattan's Central Park. So today is not about a political show. Today's show is not about President Trump. Today's show is about you folks loving your life no matter what. And with this president, we certainly have a lot of no matter whats. Dr. Bernie Siegel, we are so blessed and humbled to have you here today. Help us through President's Day, given our president.
Let me start with your introduction, and then I'll tell you what Abraham Lincoln had to say. You said
you know,
about the best year, and I have often asked people, what's the best day of your life? And one day I happened to ask that in the bank of the teller, because wherever I go, I start therapy because everybody's got trouble. So I asked the bank teller, what's the best day of your life? And she said, oh, when I gave birth to my daughter. Somebody else in the bank, see, that's how you start therapy. Everybody hears you. Somebody else in the bank yelled, wrong. And she looks like, what do you mean I'm wrong? He said, today is the best day of your life. And that's the right answer. And the same when you talk about the best year ever. Every year is the best year. It's the only one you got right now. So remember that. And as I always say, enjoy the day. I know we all have troubles. We're all going through difficulties, but as you mentioned in the introduction, if you say, what can I learn from this, then the curse becomes a blessing. And all the philosophers, and Joseph Campbell put it this way. He said, when you're going through hell, ask yourself, what am I to learn from this experience? So, yeah, I meet people, and you say, what are you going through with a life-threatening illness? They say it's a wake-up call. It's a blessing. It's a new beginning. Those are people who are survivors. When it's horrible, confusing, roadblock, they're not going anywhere. And let me share Abraham Lincoln's words, which I put on my Facebook and got a lot of reactions, because it is also about our president today. Nearly all men can stand adversity. But if you want to test a man's character, give him power. How do you like that one?
Wow.
You see. And that's, you know, the issue. I mean, I'm always preaching, become a love warrior. Yeah, if I had the power, and I mean this literally, if I were president, what would I be doing? I wouldn't be building walls. I wouldn't be telling everybody how terrible other people are. I'd be saying, we love you. Let me build a nice road so you can come into our country and we can come into yours. You know, I'd go to the Middle East and say, hey, folks, I love you. Let's spend American dollars to make all this settlement a better place. Now, where would I get the dollars? I'd stop making weapons. So I'd have lots of cash now. I don't need more bombers. I don't need a bigger army. So I call it being a love warrior. You want to change the world? Love people. It drives them out of their minds. Look what Mahatma Gandhi did in India with the British. You know, I mean, he didn't fight a war against them. He did it in a loving, peaceful way. You know, he didn't create conflict, physical conflict. And the British, there's so many articles I've read, found it harder and harder to deal with him because he's such a nice guy, you know. It's like, how can we be mean to him? He's such a nice guy. And
I just want to say, Dr. Siegel, another one in that category, because I've been reading up a lot on him, is Nelson Mandela, who comes out of being imprisoned for 20 years, comes out, you know, as a peaceful, loving soul with no grudges
what he
and
said,
forgiveness.
Yeah, that's exactly that last word. When he came out, he said, if I don't forgive the people who put me in prison, then I'm still in prison.
Yes.
So, yeah, I use his quotes, too, because he's teaching. And another one who's been my friend is Mother Teresa. I mean, one line that I read a while ago of hers that really I felt was very appropriate, especially for physicians. She said, because people asked her to attend an anti-war rally. But she said, no, I will not attend an anti-war rally. And while they were leaving, looking very disappointed, she said, however, if you ever have a peace rally, call me. Boom.
Wow.
You see? And that's like she was the love warrior, too. So, yeah, let's have peace rallies, not rallies about who I don't like and what's wrong with everybody, but why don't we have a peace rally and I love you rally? Because, I mean it. It is so funny in my life that people who are mad at me, cursing me, and, I mean, it could be for taking a parking space you didn't know they were waiting for. You know what I mean? These little things that happen. Or you get in line and somebody says, no, I was waiting, but, you know. And so I just say, I love you. And then they let me go, you know, because they don't know, what am I supposed to do with him? You know, he didn't yell at me, and I'm yelling at him. So I get, and I've had people walk up to me, because there are times there have been some crazy violent people, I don't know if they're on drugs or what, screaming at me. And I said, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm sorry. I just want you to know I love you. And the person stopped, calmed down, and walked away. And people came up to me and said, wow, thank you for teaching me something. And, it isn't easy.
I have to say, you are one of the most lovable people. I can't even imagine anyone having any issue with you when your heart is so big and all you want to do is help people.
Well, you know what it's about when they do have an issue? Anger. See, there is righteous indignation and appropriate anger. In other words, if you're not treated with respect, you have a right to be angry. I'm not talking about revenge, you know, or killing people because of how you were treated. I'm talking about the right to be angry. So if you're not treated with respect, you can display anger and tell the other person you don't like how you're being treated. You know, whether it's at work, in the hospital, in politics, or anything else, that you speak up. And that, we have to understand, is appropriate. That's survivor behavior. But I also get a kick out of it when I do get angry at something and people say, you're always preaching love and you're yelling at me. I said, I love you, but I don't like how you're treating me. See, that's the difference. And let me mention something personal about politics.
Wait, I just want to really drive that home because that's so, so powerful to talk about what people did and not go back to who they are. That's a huge difference when you're not pointing
right.
the finger at the person, but at the action. That is a huge
right.
thing for people, for you folks to really get that one. That's very powerful.
And that fits in politics, too, because Many years ago, I was speaking at a conference with Rosa DeLauro. She's a congresswoman from Connecticut. And it was at a cancer conference, and I learned that she'd had cancer in the past. But I said to her, look, in my town in Connecticut, you know, people know you. So you move into town, they put you on all these boards, and at the hospital, too, on all these committees. And I said, I can't stand it. Because all you do is meet all year long and nothing happens. It's more meetings and more meetings. And you have this wonderful project and you just get so frustrated trying to get it accomplished. So I said to her, I gave up all the committees and, you know, the politics. And I just can't take it. I want to change things. And she said, Bernie, I know what you're talking about. But, she said, I've stayed in politics because I care about people, and it may take 7 years to get a law passed, but if it gets passed and it helps people, I've done something. And that impressed me, that she's not in politics for her ego. She's there to help people. And that's what I felt as a doctor. I wanted to help people. And it just became painful when you realize you can't help everyone. Or, you know, if I were her, I probably would have said, oh, 5 years have gone by and I haven't done anything. I'm getting out of here. But no, she has the persistence and the patience. It's sort of a Mother Teresa characteristic, you know, that you keep trying to help someone. And if it happens, you've done something. And I know that feeling. And I'd say that to everybody listening. Be patient. Be persistent. And things do happen. Things do change. And then you may literally say, oh, this is the best year because look what happened this year. But it's all the other years also contributed to it and your patience. It's not screaming, you know, nasty things at other people. It's trying to do the right thing. And if we all did that, you know, with our money, with our power, I'd love to win the lottery. But the reason is I could do more good with it, you know?
Yes.
Because literally this, again, you see, how can you have a good year? You say, oh, I won the lottery, so what a wonderful year. No. 5 years after winning the lottery, in one study, over 90% of the people said it's one of the worst things that ever happened to me. Because
yes.
What do they get into? Fights with their family over, why don't you give me some of the money? To just all kinds of craziness. It just changes their life, and then they wish they hadn't won it. And I've seen that even in our family, you know, when people feel they haven't been loved as much or given as nice a gift as somebody else in the family received, you know, something that was worth more, that they're competing with each other because to them it's about not being loved. And the key is, I always say to people, love your life, love your body. And then amazing things happen. But when you're mad at your body for what it looks like or other afflictions, or when you don't love your life because of how you were brought up and what's going on. And again, all these people in my life keep popping in. This was a young lady who developed amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, where you lose control of your body. And she didn't want to die hating her body. And I got to know her years ago. And what she did, she wrote me one day and said, I am sitting naked in front of the mirror and I'm loving my body because I don't want to die hating my own body. So I'm sitting here naked loving it. And she literally said, I will spend a few minutes loving my toes, then my feet, then my ankles. And she just walked through her body inch by inch. And guess what ended up happening? She recovered from the disease. And that's no coincidence. You know, when you mentioned the book of it's the book of miracles, it's stories like hers, you know, where amazing things happen to people. But when did they happen? When they changed their perspective. And then, see, when the mind quiets, then amazing things start happening. Then consciousness steps in and does amazing things physically and spiritually in your life and body. And we have to remember that too, that the thoughts we have, our consciousness affects the people around you. And that's interesting. I mean, pops into my head now that who the president is and what his consciousness is like, or her, if we get to have a woman, consciousness is like, affects everybody. People were asked, they had the flu, see, and after they visited the doctor, whether the doctor was friendly, listened or not, the people who said, oh yeah, my doctor's very nice and friendly and listened to me, they recovered 3 or 4 days sooner than the people who said no. And I always say this to people, if you want to have a little test, try this. Walk down the street someday and pick somebody out who's coming towards you out of the crowd and send them your love. Just focus on that person. Look at their face, their body, and send it love, and keep sending it love until they come up to you. And then watch the look they give you. I'm telling you, it works. They give you such a peaceful, sweet look where everybody else is hurrying by. And it's because something's getting through to them, believe me. I mean, I can talk about consciousness for a good part of the program, but, you know, it's how we communicate with each other, with even animals, with just living things. If consciousness is there, it is detected by others. And
Dr.
So,
Siegel,
again,
I want to go back a moment about how we communicate with ourselves. When you talked about this gal that said, I love my toes and went through her body, are you saying that it includes even where you know there's cancer in your body to affirm, I love my cancer, I love my colon? When you're afflicted on that level, are you still saying to give it that positive message?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm loving my cancer. I'm loving my body. You don't have to love what is causing it trouble. But you, by loving your body, it realizes you don't want to have a disease. Let me say in another practical way. What day of the week do we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses?
I think Monday.
Yeah, Monday morning. So you see how your attitude towards your life affects your health. So your body can do you a favor. You don't like going to work. You don't like the traffic. You don't like Monday. I'll give you a heart attack. Now you go to the hospital. You don't have to work. But if you got up saying, I love my work, see, I love being outdoors. You know, even the traffic, it's what I call a spiritual flat tire. Maybe I'm getting there a little later today. Well, think about this. Think about back to 9/11. If you got into a traffic tie-up on the way to work and weren't in the building when the plane crashed into it, you'd say, wow, the best thing that happened to me today was getting stuck in traffic. And there were some people who had to go to the cleaners, would take their kid to school, and were late. And they're alive today. So again, I call it spiritual flat tires. Who the hell knows what the world schedule is? You're creating it with your consciousness. So put your consciousness in the right place, and then your life changes. And that's why when you, it's entitled The Book of Miracles, but more people would say, wow, what a coincidence. But it's not a coincidence. It's something that was created because of the behavior of that person. So who they met, what happened. Even my writing books, the only C I got in 4 years of college was in creative writing. A man came up to me one night and said, hey, do you ever think of writing a book after I gave a lecture? I said, no, I'm not a writer. Well,
wow.
He got in touch with people who got in touch with people who got in touch with people who got back to me and helped me put a book together. And the way I did it was just to talk into a recorder for hours, and then somebody made it into a book. But that started it. And I'd say to anybody out there who wants to write a book, from the wonderful author, what's his name, from the human comedy, William Saroyan, that's a novel he wrote I love, he said, basically in a story, write a letter to everyone. Because a young man is told by a writer, you're a good writer. And the young man says, what are you talking about? The letter on your desk. Yeah, it's a letter to my father. What does that have to do with writing? He said, just write a letter to everyone. And if we all wrote letters to each other, you can make them emails today, but let it come from your heart. And then you'd be amazed at the reaction and how beautiful your letters become. And years ago, that's what I used to do every night. Just all the people who wrote me with their troubles, I'd write letters to everyone. And it took hours. I mean, now it's a lot quicker. And I don't put in, as you know, I don't put in, periods and commas and capitals. I don't care about that. I'm just trying to get my feelings, words, and thoughts out to people. And some people email me and say, you have a terrible assistant. They don't seem to, write. And I say, it's not my assistant, it's me. And but again, I'm not worried about what they think about my email content. I'm worried about the content of my words and the emotions that go in it to help them. And if you help people, they're all thankful and you get a reward.
The first person you mentioned that you respected so much was Gandhi. And I could see why you have the exact same purpose. Gandhi said the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. And that's where you come from. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think about myself or my reputation or what will somebody think of me. And part of that had to do with how I was brought up. Parents who, what I call, gave me mottos to live by, because they were just being therapeutic to me, though I didn't realize it as a kid. Do what makes you happy. They're telling me to pay attention to my heart and what I'm feeling. Troubles were God's redirections. And I can't tell you how many people, I always remember my friend Norman Vincent Peale, his mother saying to him, Norman, if God slams one door, further down the corridor another will be open. So again, when you grow up with parents like that, and that material things were to make this a better world, because my father's father died leaving 6 children and a wife of tuberculosis, all uninsured. I mean, they went through hell trying to survive. But you see, my father said, that was one of the best things that ever happened to me. Now, how can you say that? I mean, I said that to him. I said, I've heard stories about what you all went through. How can you tell me that's one of the best things? He said, it taught me what was important about life. Boy, that was quite a statement to me when I thought he was trying to impress people with that crazy statement. But he meant it. And he was that kind of person. He was busy helping other people to survive. And that rubbed off on me, too. I mean, I read articles in the newspaper about somebody having trouble wanting to start a business, or needing to pay some bills. And I've sent them money, and I don't know who the hell they are. But we end up being family. I mean, let me tell you one real story. You want to make yourself feel good. I was speaking to a group of students and going through what's survivor behavior. And one of the things is, am I able to ask friends and family for favors when I need them? Okay. You realize they might say no to you, but hey, what's the harm in asking? See? And I may also add that one of the others is, if you're asked to do a favor and you don't want to do it, what's the right answer? And the right answer is no. Nurses, anybody listening who's a nurse, they have a hell of a lot of trouble. I just spoke to a group of nurses a couple of days ago, and I asked them that question. You're asked to do a favor by a family or a friend, and you don't want to do it. Raise your hand if you'd say no. Not one single hand in the room went up. Okay? But anyway, after I share all this at a lecture, students, I'm home and the phone rings. And a young lady on the phone says, I'm one of the students you spoke to today. You said it's okay to ask people for a favor. I want to go to nursing school. Would you pay my tuition? I said, if you've got the courage to call me and ask, yes, I'll do it. And I
wow.
did. And we became very close. But then wow. a couple of years later, the phone rings. Dr. Siegel, what is it? I've graduated and I have a job now. And I can pay you back Or
wow,
we can start a scholarship for other students. And you know what I voted for, the scholarship. But you see, that was the gift. You know, how my favor becomes a gift to someone else too. And as I say, we become family. It's amazing.
So let me go back to the original statement. The show is about loving your life no matter what. And we're all faced with so many no matter whats. Do you say to love your president no matter what? Or is that excluded?
Yes. Yeah, there's a difference here in terms of how you may interpret love. Absolutely.
Yes.
Love your president. Be a love warrior. Whenever you see him, say, I love you. And he'll have trouble dealing with you. But I don't say you have to like everything he does. See, we have five children, and I learned that, and I would say that to them. Yeah, one of the kids said to me, are you getting a divorce? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you yell a lot. I said, yeah, if I don't like how I'm being treated, I make noise. Why did you ask me that? He said, the neighbors are getting divorced, and they yelled a lot. I said, no. If I don't like how I'm being treated, I make noise. But I love all of you and your mother. But if I don't like what you're doing, you'll hear from me. And that's the part we have to understand. If you don't like something, fine, speak up. You know, you can run to be president to change things. Speak up. But
so,
when you're
so the
speaking
distinction
up,
is to love your life no matter what, not your president,
right.
not these other things. I wanted to make that distinction with you because that
right.
is important. So how do you love your life no matter what when you're battling cancer, when you're battling terminal illness? How do you do that? What do you want to tell people about that?
Well, that's why I keep running therapy groups for the last 40 years. I mean, it's a job, but it's, again, the willingness to have self-love and to become, well, as one woman put in a letter, that because her parents treated her terribly, as many others have gone through, and when she got cancer, she said, you gave me permission to become my authentic self. See, that's when she went out and bought bright clothing, because her mother only dressed her in black and gray, so nobody would notice her. And those are the things, you see. You can wake up because of the tragedy and start to appreciate life. And see, again, those are the people who often don't die. I mean, I've had patients go home, come back a couple of months later. When I say go home, they're ready to die. Okay, I'm going home and I'm ready to go. And then they come back and there's no tumor. What happened? I left my troubles to God. See? I call up to ask, why wasn't I invited to the funeral? This is a man who said, I want to die in the mountains of Colorado. So I called a year later, and he answered the phone and said, it's so beautiful here, I forgot to die. Another millionaire down in Florida. The son called me and said, my father has cancer. He's not doing well. Would you meet with him? I said, I'm here to lecture and do things. We'll meet you for breakfast. You know, see, when people are that persistent, I stop saying I don't have time because that's a survivor. So we met for breakfast and we talked. And he changed his life. When I came back
to Miami.
So, Dr.
Bernie, were you a cancer surgeon? Was that your specialty?
Well, not just cancer. No. I was what's called a general surgeon. I did a lot of pediatric surgery, but I got involved in cancer when a patient said to me, I need to know how to live between office visits. And I thought, wow, if I can help people live, I don't have to feel like I have failed them, you know, by not curing their disease. At least I've given them something. So we started support groups.
I thought you specialize in cancer because you counsel a lot of people that way.
Yeah, but no, not as a surgeon. I didn't. I mean, I did a lot of surgery with cancer patients. But I would say the ones who taught me the most were the children. I did a great deal of children's surgery.
Wow. How many years were
they
you
were the ones who were honest
surgeon?
And open. Pardon?
How many years were you a practicing surgeon?
I practiced Well, and this is not considering my training, which is another 5 or 6 years, from about 1960 to 1990, about 30 years of that.
And mostly cancer children in general.
Yeah. I mean, it's all organs of the body. So there are a lot of women with breast cancer, colon cancer, as well as kids with hernias and genetic problems. And I say the kids taught me because they're open and honest and listen to your words and believe in you. So I realized the power of my words, too, what I told children. It was like hypnotizing them. I have an article on my website that's called Deceiving People into Health. I mean, think about this. When you talk about the power of the mind, you see, your attitude. I mean, there are people who draw pictures of their treatment as the devil giving me poison. But then they're going to have every complication in the book. But then there are people who thought they were being treated, but due to medical errors, no radioactive material in the machine, no chemotherapy in the infusion, they still acted as if they were receiving the treatment. And I mean this literally. They would have side effects and shrinking tumors of treatment they thought they were getting. And I heard these stories from doctors who were treating them and were saying, oh, God, I feel awful. We just discovered. I said, look, did you ever stop and think about this? You're not a dumbbell. So why didn't you know you weren't treating people? I said, because they all had side effects and shrinking tumors, too. And I can tell you, some of these doctors looked like they were going to faint because it never occurred to them how powerful the patient's mind was when they were expecting certain results because they thought they were being treated. You know, you come in, lie down on the table and are told you're going to receive radiation now. And so you expect it to happen. And
one moment, Dr. Siegel, you just referenced your website. I certainly want to check out that article for sure. Folks, the website is Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com, BernieSiegelMD.com. And how would we find you on Facebook? What is that listed under?
I really don't even know, but I guess it's probably Bernie Siegel, MD.
Okay. So I don't know. You could check Bernie Siegel and Bernie Siegel, MD on Facebook as well. But the website, Bernie, SIEGELMD.com. I want to share with you folks at this time one of my favorite poems by our health guru, Beverly Nadler, in her own words about something that we have to offer you for your good health, healing, and happiness, and that's this show and why you should be listening.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy. Make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we ask that you partner up with us in that regard. Simply go to joycebarryandfriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, joycebarryandfriends.com, and you will see my picture on the upper left, and right under that picture, if you click on follow, you will find out about every show, every guest, every topic. You need not miss any of them, because if you cannot join us when we are live at 11 till noon Eastern, all shows are archived. You can access them, download them 24/7 for your listening pleasure. I just want to say that the author of that poem and the author of some wonderful books such as Vibrational Harmony is here in the studio today, Dr. Siegel, because she is a huge fan of yours. Beverly Nadler, go ahead, please.
Hi. Well, thank you for telling me about this show and letting me know that Dr. Siegel would be on today. I am a huge fan. We met each other years ago when we spoke. Both of us were speaking on a chiropractic program many years ago. I used your book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, as a resource when I had cancer 22 years ago. I've since read others of your books, and I want to thank you for what you're sharing. I see that this program is about love, that love changes everything. And I want to also thank you because you confirmed what I do at least three times a week, which is love every system and organ in my body. And I hadn't read anything about it, although I'm sure somebody has, but perhaps you have in books that of yours that I haven't read. But you certainly confirmed the value of that, which makes it even more valuable to me. So thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, people have to remember what we're talking about isn't fantasy. It's science, that our internal chemistry is changed by our thoughts and emotions and feelings. You know, so whether it's Monday morning or petting a dog. Well, here's a specific example. Heart attack study in Australia. You have a heart attack. Doctor looks everybody up 12 months later. No dog in the house, 24% of the people had died. A dog in the house, 6% of the people had died. Study of Harvard students. Did your parents love you? No. 35 years later, 98% had suffered a major illness in the intervening years. Yes, my parents loved me. 24% had, I mean, yeah, 24% had suffered a major illness. Now, you go into an assisted living facility where 80, 90, and even now 100-year-olds are, and you say, did your parents love you? Yeah, what are you talking about? What kind of stupid question is that? And I say, that's why you're alive today, you know, because they don't stop to think about it. And I learned also, I was loved by my parents. I assumed everybody else was. But you go into a high school and you say, write a suicide note and write a love note. And the pile of suicide notes is 3-4 times higher than the love pile. And what it does is lower the suicide rate in the school. And I'm not making these stories up, because then the kids start talking to each other and it becomes therapeutic to be in school rather than lie about why you have a black eye. See, you don't say my father punched me. You say I fell off my bike. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one boy I will never forget, and you say you want to have a good year, your best year. He called me to say he wanted to commit suicide, and he just wanted to say goodbye to me. And I said, why don't we get a gun and kill your parents? What the hell's the point of killing yourself? Because he'd been sexually abused and had AIDS. And he said, I never forget this over the phone. No, I never want to be like them. Boy, that blew my mind and heart away. What a wonderful kid. And then,
so how did you
see,
counsel him out of that?
All right, let me tell you. See, I have an angel. He went down to the subway to jump in front of the A train. And then a few hours go by and the phone rings again. Dr. Siegel, what is it, Tony? I went to the subway and there was no train. It didn't come. I didn't know what to do with myself. And there on the wall was a hotline for suicide prevention. So I called them and they came and got me and showed me about love. So you'd say, how the hell did a subway train not show up? But those things happen. Believe me. We all have angels around us. I
mentioned Nelson Mandela as one of my heroes, who said a good head and a good heart are always a formidable combination. So clearly, Dr. Siegel, you have that. Beverly Nadler, who's just shared with you, she's our health guru. She's on every Thursday. Here's to your health Thursday. And as a matter of fact, her last show on Feb 16 was how to have a healthy and happy heart. So she deals with emotional, spiritual, physical, and mental topics. So she comes from that place. And another person that comes from that place, a good heart, a good head, is our friend who has a show every month with us, a world-renowned psychic, Peter Marks, who adores you. Peter, would you like to say something to Dr. Siegel?
Yes, I just wanted to say I've been listening to the whole program. Dr. Siegel, you're an inspiration to everybody. I do feel in my own practice that I constantly mention the word love, and that we need more love in our daily lives, and we need to express it more and more. And I find a lot of my clients come back and they say to me, where did these concepts come from? Why do you talk about pontificate love so much? And I have to truly say, it's because I've read most of your books. So you are an inspiration to me, and I have been following you since I was in college.
Thank you. Let me give you a story you'll love to share. This is from a woman who developed cancer, had alcoholic parents, and would tell me all the time in the support group, "Oh, love, you keep talking about love. It doesn't make any difference. I tell my parents every day I love you. They don't even talk to me." One day, about 3 months after she had started saying I love you to her parents, she came into the group with a smile. I said, "What happened, Mary?" "I was late for work today, so I ran out of the house, and my parents are in the street screaming, 'You forgot something.'" She said, "I have my pocketbook. I have my papers. What are you talking about? You didn't say I love you today." And she said, "We hugged each other and were crying in the street." And what a healing happened that day. And I tell that to people. You want to drive family crazy or others? Every day, email them, call them, leave a message, "I love you." And then skip a day after 3 months and see if you get a call and they say, "Hey, how you doing? You all right? I didn't hear from you." And watch what happens.
Wow, that is my heart. I just feel what you're saying to the depths of my heart and soul. I just want to just send another shout-out to Dr. Reese Patterson. God bless him. The man is over 90 years old, and he's obviously non-practicing, but he did for many, many years. And what he does, he doesn't use a computer either. Anyone who writes to him, he sends them articles all over the world, literally, at his own expense. He pays for everything. That's his life's purpose, to make a difference for other people, Dr. Reese Patterson. And how he says what saved his life, he was diagnosed with stomach cancer way back when. They took out most of his or all of his stomach. How he survived. And to this day, he literally plays tennis 6 days a week. To this day, he plays tennis. He just turned 91 in January. He said that's what got him through everything. Exercise saved his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns no one down on anything. His time, his energy, he calls them back all over the world at his expense. And his show, folks, if you want to access that in our archives, January 30 in our archives of this year, Exercise Saved My Life. 6 days a week to this day he plays tennis. So
yeah, but
there are miracle people like you, doctor.
Because exercise didn't save his life. He saved his life. See, he's willing to go and exercise. And because I meet people who say, "I don't have time to exercise. I don't have time for your support groups. I don't have time to read a book." See, what made him desire to exercise? I mean, that desire and intention. Well, this is a statement from scientists. Desire and intention alter the physical world, causing things to occur which would not normally occur if they were not desired. So those are from physicists who are doing experiments with machines and other things, not the human body. But all of that has its profound effect on everything in the universe. That's why I love talking to quantum physicists, because they are in touch with what you might say uncertainty. You know what I mean? They can't explain creation. So they're open to all possibilities and to things happening and occurring. And that's the important part, for people to understand their potential. That's a word I like to use. It's built into us. We don't panic when we cut our finger. Why? Because you expect it to get better and you don't do a damn thing. You cover it with a Band-Aid. So that potential is in us. And again, when you love your body, it's amazing what can happen within that body, knowing that you want to keep it and enjoy your life and keep doing those things. But it's what I call reparenting and rebirthing yourself, you know, through your show, through other things, that you've got to make people feel they're worth something. You know, I always say, how would you introduce yourself to God? And if you say, well, I have a radio show, come back when you know who you are. But if you said, your child is here, God says, come on in. And that, you know, to accept your divinity and what you're worth, no matter how
well you say, doctor,
you
love your body, and I say, you better love your body. Where else are you going to live?
That's right.
That is your temple. And those of you who are listening, if you're getting value out of the show, when are you going to put into practice what you're learning about it? Are you going to share it with other people so they can benefit as well? The main thing is to take heed of what you're learning, to really not just make notes, but go into action. And then I ask you, if not now, when? Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration, achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation? To get healthy and off that medication, to get wealthy, it's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not now, when? So, folks, as a personal and professional success coach, I always leave my clients with, if not now, when? When they have that goal they want to achieve, when they have that thing they want to do, my official website is Joyce Barry, BARRIE.com. So, Dr. Siegel, what message do you want to leave our audience as we wrap up?
Thank you. William Saroyan put this in one of his books. Everybody alive is an actor, but almost everybody alive is a very pathetic actor. And that's why you're given a lifetime to rehearse and practice. And just what you said, you're a life coach. I tell people, go find a coach. They don't tell you you're a terrible person. They criticize you so you are an improved person. They're coaching you. And remember to rehearse and practice. You can pick out somebody you love. You can say, what would Mahatma Gandhi do? You know, what would Mother Teresa do? What would Bernie Siegel do? What would Joyce do? And rehearse and practice until you become the person you want to be.
Dr. Siegel, first, I want to really, really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for making the time to be with us today. I want to go on record that I want you a lot more often. Your books are extraordinary. You're very special. Your message is always on point. And, folks, I want to leave you with this special prayer that I wrote for all of you. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And folks, we really want to invite you to sing along with us, dance along with us, laugh along with us. We want you to be healthy. We want you to be healthy. And you could start all of that with us right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mash. Thank you all, and God bless you all. And Dr. Siegel, we love you.
Thank you.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun. She's
wow.
a home business wizard, and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.